Afterward, the friends rooted among the dead, salvaging weapons, ammo, an axe, a can opener, a precious set of binocs, only slightly warped, and a ring of brass keys.
Could come in handy.
JB pocketed the keys.
What for? We don't even know what they unlock.
Might be something good, might be nothing. But a set of keys always makes fine bait in a booby trap.
Resting against her BMW, Amanda watched their proceedings with a disinterested air. Her gaze, though, kept darting to the interior of Leviathan. Christy noticed her attraction and moved between the stranger and the dashboard console. Curiosity was natural, but she got an odd feeling about the blonde. The woman had clearly been badly beaten. Purplish bruises were slowly appearing all over her body, especially the thighs, and there was a prominent tooth missing. Christy could guess exactly what kind of trouble Ryan and Dean had rescued her from. Yet the blonde wasn't angry or humiliated, as any normal person should have been. She almost seemed amused, even pleased.
Achilles, don these, for the world knows your plight.
Duck handed Dean a pair of leather boots. The youngster tried them on, delightedly finding the footgear to be a near-perfect fit. He stood and stamped his feet.
Bit large.
You'll grow into them. Ryan's expression belied the stern tone. Amanda went to her saddlebags.
Wait a moment. I have something here that might work better than those.
A warning tingle flared through every nerve, and Christy drew the .38 Ruger, but Doc and Jack were between her and the woman. Both of the blonde's hands were out of sight inside the bags, doing something.
Ryan, something's wrong! Stop her!
But before anybody could react, an intense hissing sound came from the motorcycle. Nothing was visible, but Doc and Dean toppled limply to the ground. Scowling, Ryan managed to pull his hand blaster, when he also folded.
It's gas!
Mildred drew her .38 blaster, but the weapon fell from nerveless hands, and she slumped as if dead. Drawing a knife, Jack held his breath and backed away, but he also folded. Over the loud hissing, Amanda laughed contemptuously as JB tried to fire the Uzi and failed, crumbling as if every bone in his body were dissolved. Even though she had a clear shot, Christy dropped her pistol and tried to shut the door when blackness swallowed her whole. Blackness. Total and complete. The dead silence was broken only by the echo of a drip striking water. Then a creak of straining metal and a rumble of collapsing stonework. A brief flicker of greenish light shattered the dark. Then a second flicker. There was the soft, high-pitched whine of accumulators releasing stored power and servo motors revving to operational speeds. In agonizing slowness, circuits grew warm, then solder cracked and wires parted. Fat sparks crawled like neon spiders over the shattered transistors, broken chips, smashed relays, and cracked motherboard of the General Electric Ranger Mark IV, before its auxiliary CDPs flared into microsecond life again. The auto repair system strained against the electronic and physical damage. Reserve power flowed from the new batteries, past pulverized circuit boards, and along the very alloy framework of the annihilated tank, until finally reaching relays and incandescent bus bars. Most of the sensors were offline, some completely dead. The few still working indicated impossible things, so the diagnostic systems promptly disconnected the malfunctioning elements. But the remaining handful registered that water rich with decaying leaves and faint traces of human waste were flowing over the decimated vehicle. Memory chips struggled to identify the environment, and the answer came soon enough. A sewer. The Ranger was in a city sewer. High probability, driven through the street and into the underground pipes by the force from above. The circuits had no solid data on what was the generating factor of the crushing blow, but from the concrete dust, glass splinters, broken bricks and such, it postulated a falling building. Then, alarm sounded. Trace levels of gallium, arsenic, and selenium were found in the muddy water. Subprocessors indicated very high probabilities that there were computers in the structure above the Ranger. If the repair droids could only reach those, the machine could get back online. Once more, the auto repair systems tried valiantly to function, and failed. They tried again and failed again. Searching for an answer to the repair problem, complex arrays of sophisticated thinking wires surged with stored bytes, and virtual reality monitors flashed random data, blueprints, and schematics. 100,000 miscellaneous files were opened and read as the diagnostic software searched for the correct command prefixes. Stored bits of conversation and recorded visuals had to be listened to endlessly as the search continued at the speed of light. One file was heard 1,000 times before the loop could be severed and the work continued. Sluggishly, the main data processor of the Ranger came awake. A soft, ethereal glow began to tint the dark as a series of small submonitors came to life. Each showed the view around the hull from a different direction, including directly behind and straight above. No details, only brown. Secret codes and complex commands started to scroll on the arced array of virtual screens, and the gloom wildly strobed with a combined pyrotechnic effect. Cybernetic relays slid into position, superconductor bus bars hummed alive, and a torrent of fresh electricity from miniature nuke batteries flooded deactivated circuits with a massive infusion of power. Instantly, a subcomputer ran a full diagnostic. Blueprints and electronic diagrams scrolled across every monitor in furious study. The probability of success was 8.9%. Good enough. It was smashed to pieces, with most of its computers destroyed and circuits dead. But the Ranger had gone into many battles with a lower probability and emerged victorious. A primary circuit sparked, and nothing happened. A secondary was tried, and a solenoid thumped. But the tiny hatch it was connected to refused to open. The metal buckled into an impossible condition. When the computer realized the truth, it bypassed the escape hatch and sent 100 crab-like drones out through the cracks in the hull. Clambering through the bricks and wreckage, most of the drones stepped on a loose piece of masonry and were subsequently crushed under an avalanche of debris. The remaining handful climbed over their fallen units, continuing ever upward into the tangle of glass and carpeting and out of visual range. Time passed slowly. Then the drones radioed with important news. In the ruins above were smashed computers of superior technology than those on board the Ranger, generations better. There were fax machines for wiring, TV remote controls for infrared relays, video games loaded with integrated chips, and microwave beamers inside kitchen ovens. The inventory went on for hours. Rare metals from office copiers, fiber optics from phone lines, plexiglass windows, optical lenses from security cameras, titanium steel from the building itself, electric motors and escalators, hydraulic pumps from the elevators, endless coaxial cable from VCRs, cooling units from refrigerators and air conditioners, and low-power civilian lasers from countless CD stereos and office printers. Snipping bits and pieces from this and that, the handful of drones first repaired the rest of the broken droids. Dozens, then hundreds of the little machines started to ferry ton after ton of processed materials to the smashed tank. Hours passed in frantic activity as the sewer walls were shored up to prevent any further collapse onto the tank. Then primary power was restored, and miniature lasers began to weld the hull solid as hydraulic pumps forced warped sections closed. Scurrying drones covered the tank, banging on treads and rewiring command boards. The world was at war, with millions of American lives depending upon the operational efficiency of the robotic Guardian. Soon, the Ranger would be online and combat ready, with its invisibility shield and polycyclic laser fully restored. Then the machine would hunt down the unauthorized intruders who stole valuable military supplies from Redoubt 549. The carrier wave of their badly shielded radio gave off an easily traceable signature. But the Ranger wouldn't try to capture the thieves again. They had illegally resisted with lethal force, and the Mark IV was programmed to learn from mistakes. This time, it would simply kill them on sight. Drip, drip, drip. The noise was maddening, neither slowing nor increasing in tempo. It was as regular as clockwork. The laughing woman, Amanda, filled Ryan's vision, and he put a bullet through her face.